CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes, we are live. It is Tuesday, and we're alive, which is even more important. It's just after 6 o'clock, ready to take you into your day and start this Tuesday properly. A lot of people just very confused about whether or not dates and time, day even matters anymore. I think that's all of us, actually. All right, so much to get to. We got Pumi Mashiko with us this morning, as on a Tuesday usually. We have Sia Sangweni. We have Bulelo Tinta. We've got Mfundo back in the studio. And you to join us this morning. So,
yay
indeed. So what's happening, everybody? Are we good?
Yeah, good point. You're right.
Hang on. One at a time, please. I mean, really. Don't talk over Pumi. Sia, don't talk over Pumi. Go ahead. Ladies first, Sia.
Thank you. So what I was saying was, I'm joking.
Go, Pums.
I thought you were going to tell us what the date and day was.
Oh, today's Tuesday. It's the 5th of May.
Oh, yes. I remember all those corny jokes about the 4th yesterday.
Yes. May the 4th be with you. Yeah, I didn't even remember to say that in the morning.
Are you happy, though, Star Wars fan?
You know, I'm a Star Wars fan, but this last three movies was a bit disappointing. And now that I can see it in context, I'm glad it's done. Like, I love the movies and I'll watch them again. And they are the fairy tale of my generation, like I've said so many times. But yeah, I didn't love the last three in the trilogy. Just were total shit.
What about the context?
What do you mean?
Like, how are you all of a sudden to see three movies in context?
Well, I've seen all nine in context now.
Okay.
You know, so it was the first three, which I saw when I was a kid, and they were, like, imprinted on the inside of my skull. The Battle of Good and Evil, you know.
The hero's journey,
correct. Redemption for Darth Vader. You know, all that kind of thing. I mean, these are classic storytelling tropes, and the great storytellers of the world know that these have to be included in stories. Otherwise, humans don't feel for them. I mean, it's all, you know, you've got the story of Jesus in there. You've got the story what's the guy's name? Gilgamesh. You've got the story of Osiris and Horus. You've got the story of Pericles. It's all the same. They're all tied into the same vein. And, those first three are beautifully put together. The second set of three was like a sci-fi exploration by George Lucas. So they weren't as good, but at least they told the story well. You know, there was a story in there, this beautiful story of how someone who has it all, someone who's so talented, someone who's so full of all the good things can turn to the dark side. And then your final three are just, they just infused it with so much crap.
Oh.
Really, and they tried to be all politically correct too, which it's just so crap compared to the rest. Doesn't fit at all.
So you aren't really excited about the announcement they made yesterday, did you hear?
What's the announcement? This is news.
Star Wars projects in the works.
Yeah, they're going to make all these, like they made the Han Solo movie.
Origin stories.
Yeah, and Rogue One. I mean, I like that. That's cool. I hope they
do. There's a Star Wars feature film that will go out in theaters, and that will be put together by the same team that put together Jojo Rabbit, which ended up winning an Oscar. And then they also have a new Star Wars series in the works that will be streamed on Disney Plus.
Okay. I'll give it a go. I mean, The Mandalorian is awesome, so I like that. It just depends on what they're doing. They've just got to, like, stay true to the vision of George Lucas. That's all I'm asking.
No, but Disney bought it now. You know, that means you water it right down.
You're right.
George is on his Skywalker ranch. He couldn't be moved upon it.
George is the only one in the whole universe who does not care about this global recession. He's not interested.
You know, I always think back to, what is it, the Three Stooges, that cartoon series, Once Upon a Time, and there was this scene of them in this massive vault with piles of cash, and they would dive into it and just swim around in notes.
Yeah.
That's what I think George Lucas does over the weekend.
I would.
Of course, you know, George Lucas and the Star Wars series was one of the first films that actually had merchandising tied to it. So the concept of merchandising and toys and all of that stuff was started by George Lucas and the Star Wars series. So, of course, the man, he must have all the money in the world. He must just get it. He can have my money with all those little toys that come out with every single one of those films.
Yeah, and now every single Tom, Dick, and Jabulani comes out with merchandise with their movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of them can't sell it. I mean, the thing about Star Wars is, like, my little nephews are obsessed, right? And now they've done this deal with Lego as well. So now you can get Star Wars Lego. I never need to think of another birthday present. And the youngest one has his birthday, I think, next week. I don't have to think about birthday presents. I mean, none of those shops are open, so he's going to get, if he's lucky, he'll get like a piece of wood with his name carved on it.
Oh.
But obviously, because, you know, toys are not essential. So, you know, we can't get him a present. So he'll get, maybe he'll get one of the dog's toys that I'll try and refurbish for him.
Oh, no.
But
you know, job
but for the next 6 years, I'm sorted for him. I just buy him Star Wars Lego, and he's as happy as can be.
How old is he turning this year?
Four.
Maybe this year is the year he learns that, you know, it's not about the physical things. And
oh, God, he'll cry.
The gift is in his heart. And
I might be able to find something around the house. I don't know. I'll have to look. Oy, it's dangerous.
Because maybe I don't think this is the year he also appreciates an encyclopedia, Gareth. So you need to wait out to find something.
Do they still print encyclopedias?
No, they don't. They're actually
having a conversation about encyclopedias over the weekend and the fact that, like, encyclopedias were that thing. You know,
I didn't get through a school project, Pumi, without encyclopedias.
Dude. And also, because we weren't kind of like exposed to a whole lot of stuff. The encyclopedia is also where you went to find out about sex.
Oh, really?
What?
Yes. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, very good.
Because but, like this word that nobody speaks about and this thing, right?
Right, sex.
So, exactly. So the encyclopedia, nobody's going to, there's no like cached history of what your search was like.
Wow.
So you can go in there and look at all of the stuff and read up about it and all of the related words.
Any family who could afford anything like that for their kids would buy a set of encyclopedias and they'd say, like, that's for everything. There's everything you need to know in those 24 volumes, and you just better, you know, go through them whenever you're stuck.
Yeah, 100%. That's, you know, no Wikipedia for you.
I've still got the set of childhood encyclopedias that my parents had. They gave them to me when I left, and they're here in this office of mine.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I used to, honestly, I did not just, they didn't sit there on the shelf when I was a kid. I was furiously absorbing bullshit that would never be useful to me. I mean, I still churn it out every now and then. You know how I come up with stuff. And someone says, well, why do you know what the capital of Azerbaijan is? And I go, well, Encyclopedia Britannica.
Absolutely.
But they don't. I know there was a big move to put this stuff onto. They tried to eventually sell, like, you know, you could buy discs and software of the encyclopedias, and it had like clip art and voice recordings. And for a little while, I was trying to make sure that I was on top of that. That was like in the maybe late 90s, early 2000s. But then I realized, like, hang on, there's this Wikipedia, and it's so much better. And Wikipedia, by and large, is trustworthy as a source because it's verified by, you know, numbers of people. So you have peer review, essentially, like science journals.
Absolutely. And, you know, now they've got a thing on Wikipedia. I mean, in the early days of Wikipedia, you could go in and edit stuff. If you read something and it didn't sound right, you could go in and edit it live. Mm-hmm. And it would. And now they've actually got a system where you submit your edits and they verify it before they update the page, so that to kind of filter out the rubbish as well.
When last were you on Wikipedia? Because they're now asking for donations. I saw this last night.
Yes.
Last night I got a message saying, hello, reader from South Africa.
Yeah, that's what I got too. Yeah, it happens to me every time I go on there now. And I use it all the time. I mean, for me, it's a good place to start off.
And they've got an incredible kind of search engine optimization. If you Google anything, one of the first things that comes up is
them.
Always a Wikipedia kind of link to it.
That's right.
So,
you know what today is Cinco de Mayo, right?
I'm sure
there are a lot of Mexicans who are not celebrating today because they're not allowed to.
Well,
Mexico's a different place. They don't do rules.
No, apparently Mexico is the only other country in the world that has imposed any kind of liquor restrictions on their population. It's just us and Mexico. Everyone else in the world is allowed to have booze and booze delivered. They can buy booze. It's just South Africa and Mexico. Those are the only two countries. Even Russia allows you to go and buy whatever you want from the liquor store. How's that?
So yesterday, preparing for a presentation, I was looking at the number of deaths because I saw a statistic which completely floored me about the fact that on the 3rd of February, there was something like worldwide, just under 500, so 493 or something like that deaths due to COVID. And on the 3rd of May, it was over 230,000.
Huh.
And so that kind of made me go, like, I couldn't even think what kind of percentage leap that is, right? And I was looking at the breakdown by country of all of the kind of confirmed cases and number of people who've died. And Mexico is also up there with the huge number of people dying.
Yeah, I've stopped looking at those things. I don't go, for example, I had that whole COVID the latest statistics, I had that bulletin board on my phone and I just deleted it, actually. I deleted it 2 days ago. I mean, these are all just numbers and statistics. They don't tell you about the people. They don't actually tell you the story. And you become very blasé about it because you start looking at it going, well, you know, when it reaches a million, then it's worth taking seriously. And you realize what a cold thing that is to say.
Yeesh.
Did you feel like you were becoming desensitized?
No, I'm too involved because we do this show every morning and we have to talk about it. I'm making me unhappy. It's making me unhappy, and it's not because I'm desensitized at all. If anything, I'm more sensitive to it now than I was at the beginning. If only because it's starting to impact everybody's lives. And I don't just mean the disease. I mean the lockdown and everything else associated with it. Everybody, even if, and I've said for the longest time, you know, I'm not opposed to the lockdown because it's affecting me. Because the only way it's affecting me is through luxuries. It's not like I'm lucky. I'm one of the lucky people in the world. I can be at home. Our business can largely run online. I'm opposed to the lockdown on intellectual and argument-based grounds. I'm not opposed to it because I feel like it's hurting me. And this is where a lot of people who've argued with me in the last few days just get it completely wrong. Like, the people it's hurting are the people who are most vulnerable in society. It's hurting the poorest people in South Africa. It's not hurting wealthy people who live in nice houses like most of us. I mean, let's be honest, you know, most of us who do the show every morning, it's like, oh, you got to wake up early and do the show, but you've got running water and electricity and you live in a nice house where you've got your own stuff around you and, you know, you got food in the fridge and that kind of thing. And of course, it's irritating to, for example, not be able to do some of the things that you did pre-April. But it's not life-alteringly shit, you understand? Whereas for someone who lives in a one-room, informal settlement house, shack, and you've got to squeeze your family in there, and you're living in abject poverty, you have nothing to eat, Life is shit. Your job is gone now because your boss has just told you they can't keep you for the next 2 months. So they've only paid you for April. Now it's over. Like, that's bad. That's when you realize it hurts. You know, the rest of us, we could sell things because we've still got some stuff to sell, and we could maybe start a new business, or you can look at the options. A lot of other people don't.
Yeah, I think that's the key word there, options. Options which gives freedom, which gives, you know, still
if you don't have options,
having some cards on the table.
You're a woman who lives with a husband who is vicious and mean, and maybe he physically or verbally abuses you, and you don't have any economic ability to get away from him because you are dependent on him completely. You live under his rules, and now he's around the whole time. You don't have friends in your life who you can download some of that emotional anguish on. You know, you can't get to your extended family for support. I mean, that's bad. Nobody's thinking about them. They're thinking about, oh, I can't get hot food. And no one, I promise you, even the Hildas and the Susans and the, what else do we have? The Sharons and the car and all of them.
Why is there no ever a car? Why is there no Carl in there or a Joe?
No, because it's a women complain. Women complain way more than men, Pumi. This is the fact, right? And all of those people, even them, with all the love in the world, those people, they know that this is not, they're not like having hysterics over not being able to get the chicken that they usually get from Woolworths. They're not. Because
how do you spell chicken?
Chicken. Chucken. But I'm curious, like, have you found, and Sia, you're probably the one I'd like to hear from the most on this one, because your cousin just had a baby, right? Like, what are the lockdown rules around if you're having a baby? What can she do? What can she not do? I've heard parents are struggling to find kids' winter clothes, and if they can find winter clothes, they can't find winter underwear. And, you know, it's like these weird rules have been made without any thinking.
Yeah, it's a tough one for my cousin and his fiance, and especially this is my cousin who has been so excited for his first child as soon as he found out that they were going to have a child. They were counting down to it. He had planned a surprise baby shower for her that has subsequently had to be cancelled because of the lockdown. And they weren't able to adequately prepare because there were certain things that they were able to get. There were certain things that they weren't able to buy.
Right.
But even just getting to the actual birth of the baby, yeah, he was only allowed to be by her side for not more than 90 minutes. And all of that comprises of driving her to the hospital, and which was around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then he was told he can't be in there. And I get for safety purposes as well, sure. But for the rest of the day, he had to wait in the car, not knowing what was happening. He was just assured that he would be called for the actual delivery. And the actual delivery took place at about 9 p.m. that evening. So for a good 6-7 hours, he was out of the loop. 9 p.m. he was called into the ward, and you know, he said it was a relatively quick delivery after that. But you think about that stretch of time for their first child. I'm no woman. I've never had a child. I cannot even imagine what that's like, though, to be going through so much emotionally and physically and uncertainty. And he was saying that she, his fiance, didn't want him, you know, didn't want him near her at all. But you still want that support. And she couldn't get that, though. And he just feels like there's a chunk of his life now, this massive moment that's missing. And just even the bonding experience right now, he's still not allowed in the hospital for a long stretch of time. He's able to go in to deliver things, for the baby and her, and then leave as well. I think, man, we're going to see these ripple effects now just starting to make more and more of a dent in situations like this.
Yeah.
When was the baby born? That's so hectic.
This weekend.
It were, yeah, this weekend on Saturday evening.
Wow.
Mm.
I don't know what's going on with our app. Apparently, there's some issues there, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out what's happening, but all I see on the message board is just apps not working, technical problems, blah, blah, blah. So I don't even know if anyone can hear us right now. We're doing the show.
I'll ask around.
We're doing the show for our own mental health, apparently.
Let me ask around.
Which is also all right.
Please, people, washing your hands and only wearing a mask doesn't and won't stop the virus from spreading. They need to be clean all over the body. From a person that's been OCD all of my life, I've just become worse now. Well, let's just talk about these masks for a minute, because people are making their own cloth masks, right? And some of these masks had holes on the side. Some people are wearing masks that you would wear for spray painting in a factory. I mean, people are wearing whatever they can find. And a lot of these things, it's purely for show. Really and truly, it's just for show. And I understand that there are these rules now around it, and some shops won't let you in, and if you get caught driving around with more than one person in your car and you don't have a mask on, you could be arrested. And like, it's just completely crazy. But you know that this mask thing is nonsense, right? I hope everybody does.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, ask if it doesn't create a seal, you're really just, all you're going to do is if you are spitting and carrying on while you talk, it's just going to catch that. But it's not going to protect you from the virus if other people are sneezing and carrying on and it gets in on the sides of the mask or whatever. In other words, it's like 5 to 10% helpful. That's all. I mean, do you wear a mask? Do you? Because I haven't up to now, but I didn't go to the shops yesterday. I was going to. I'm going to go today.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it wasn't necessary.
So
you've got to wear a mask, right?
I went to the shops at the end of last week. First of all, you're doing the right thing. Don't go to the shops over the weekend.
Oh yeah.
Even on a normal no COVID, right?
Right.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are the best days because all retailers know, because those are the down days, kind of, because you don't want to be in the shops when there's lots and lots of people. And I took the time and I made myself 3-layered mask and all of that stuff and downloaded a pattern and all sorts of things. Yeah, I'm that person now.
Getting your Martha Stewart on.
I'm a bloody ghetto Martha Stewart, right? I'm baking bread and making masks.
Are you paying your taxes?
Martha Stewart, sorry, she was arrested for not paying taxes, remember, and for insider trading. Martha Stewart.
The tax thing, hey?
Oh, sorry.
It's a whole other can of worms. Okay. But one of the things that I found with the mask as well is it's also an awareness of not touching yourself. Not touching stuff and touching yourself. And also, yeah, the OCD guy so got it right. I always hated being in the shops anyway. Now, even now with the lockdown, in my mind, the lockdown continues as it has. I'm not about to go into winter and people coughing and sneezing everywhere, even if it's not COVID, that they're coughing and sneezing, like expose myself to those people.
So for me, look, I'm a human being. I'm allowed to change my mind. And I also feel like this is slight karma because I've stated on record that I was that person who had no scum at all in, you know, tapping the person who's sitting next to me on an airplane going, excuse me, we are about to take off. Can you make sure that that phone is turned off?
Oh, right. You're rid of a prefect.
That person, I'll state that very proudly. But I just don't get this mask thing and the policing that comes with it. When you are driving alone, I don't see the need for you to wear a mask.
You don't have to.
Okay, so I'm glad we have a consensus on that. I personally also don't think there should be this whole push for everyone to wear a mask every single day whenever you leave the house. Cut to yesterday morning, you know, as soon as we wrapped the show, I thought, let me squeeze the last 50 minutes I have of this curfew. And I went for a brisk walk around our neighborhood here. And there was this old couple on the other side of the road who started screaming at me. Look, if they were panicked and worried and whatnot, sure, I get it. But I also think it was slightly unwarranted. They're like, where is your mask?
Oh, for God's sake.
I thought,
did you run across the road and spit at them?
So here's the kicker for me. I thought, no, I must be mistaken, right? So I said, excuse me, pardon. And the wife said, you should bloody have your mask on. And I thought, oh, are we about to have like an indecent, uncivilized fight in the middle of all of this? And I was at a loss for words, and I thought, well, instead of just responding to them, let me just carry on. But maybe I might be unrealistic here, but I'm walking alone. It is a quiet neighborhood,
yeah,
and I'm not trying to defend myself or make myself the exception here. But I think in an instant like this, am I wrong?
I totally understand you, Sia, but you can't really reason with people like that because they're obviously fearful dolts who have no brains between their ears, and they are afraid. And when you're afraid, you behave very badly and very stupidly. I mean, I got this message from somebody yesterday. This is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Please stop asking for the lockdown to be lifted. The country is not yet past, spelt incorrectly, the critical period of infection. I personally do not want to die, nor do I want to see those close to me dying, because some people are tired of having to stay at home.
Hold on, Gareth. Before you go on there, when you're afraid, you don't act badly. You act like who you are.
Oh, right. Good point. Right. So now you know. Anyway, she continues, I teach grade one learners, and the resilience and determination from them to make the best of a stressful situation has been remarkable. And now we're looking to grade ones to be our heroes. So she says, economies are suffering, people are suffering, it's inevitable, but ending the lockdown too soon will kill thousands, and who will then stimulate the economy? Who will do it then, huh? Trump and his ignorance. I don't know why she brings Trump up, because I'm not saying, I mean, he's the one who's saying keep the lockdown going in America. He's saying, you know, Sweden bad, we good, basically. Just talk to a doctor who's seen weeks and weeks of suffering and death. I speak to doctors all the time. None of them are seeing this. Our hospitals are empty. So I don't know where she's getting that. I was shocked by your stance, and I hope people have the good sense not to adopt the same attitude. So, I mean, what am I going to say to her? She's a grade one teacher. I'm not going to attack her with facts because she's going to think it's an attack. So I just said to her, stop being an idiot, and blocked her.
What's interesting to me about this conversation, you know, if we were in Japan, what we're saying now would be blasphemous. And it gives you
what,
quite
not
a
wearing a mask?
No, what we're saying about I must do what I want, it doesn't make no difference whether you do it. Actually, it's a start of what we call civil obedience. So in Japan, no one questions it. And the Japanese believe it's the little things.
Yeah, the Japanese, so remember also the Japanese do not have sex at all, have a negative birth rate, and have to be coaxed into fucking each other by the state.
No, hold on. There's also another reason why they're
not
don't
people you should
children.
Rely on for this kind of information.
No, hold on. You need more context. Intelligent people have less children. The Japanese measure always in the top 1%. There's more than just that, but I like.
Yes, Bunila, yes.
Now, you've been very,
just because they don't have children doesn't mean they don't have sex.
You're cherry picking very. No, they have weird sex from like panty dispensing machines and shit like that. Come on. Let's not. You're cherry picking. But go on. Use your Japan example. Let's see where it goes.
Is that it's the little things that make society work. So if you comply with the tiny things, everything else sorts itself out. So in South Africa, one might say the whole country is a shambles because we can't even come together on something this simple.
No,
on a simple behavior like keep masks on. You know, this shows us who we are.
So,
we're all over the place.
I mean, last week I said to you guys, one of the things that I've found incredible to watch is the lack of nuanced conversation, right? This is one of those things. Is that there's almost universally, everyone is talking either or. It's either black or it's white.
Yeah.
There's nobody having a conversation in the gray areas, which almost everywhere, the context is always what colors in a situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of all of this outrage that we're seeing is we're just seeing people who can only see one or the other. Our government can only see one or the other. The people on the streets can only see one or the other. Sia and your old people, they can only see you're not in the mosque. And you know what I'm saying? And it's just, if anything, I wish more of us can find the ways of having all of the in-between conversations, all of the contextual conversation that makes every single person's situation slightly different from the next. And we can't like apply the same things and same logic to everyone.
You are so sensible. Thank God for you this morning.
I was saying to Mbulelo before we went on air, today's day one of term two at school. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away at the assumption that all the kids have some access to some kind of device and they can sit on a Zoom lesson for an hour and a half.
Yes.
And what if you have three kids? Are you supposed to have three different devices?
Well, exactly, right?
With all of the kids. And it's just, but of course, nobody's. And again, it's because we're kind of going, it's this way or not. And I was like, maybe the teacher who would have spent 6 hours anyway should spend 30 minutes with each child on the phone. And that's, there's their 6 hours of work and explain the work to each child individually. And all these poor children who have to now suddenly not be in a classroom and be like learning from their dumb parents.
Right.
So what's our responsibility to all coexist better in a time like this?
The responsibility here is to be responsible. If you're not feeling well, don't go out for two reasons. Your immune system is lowered and whatever it is that you have is easier to be passed on to the next people, right? Spend less time like interacting with people if you're not feeling well.
Can I also just ask people, like, start with your own world. You can't fix everybody else's. Like those neighbors of yours, that their lives are so perfect and they've got everything so organized that they need to start worrying about Sia on the other side of the road, who's far away from them and not inconveniencing them, that they need to start lecturing him. You know, I would never, ever do that to another person. Like shout across the road to two strangers, hey, put on your mask.
What is that? Did not have been
and they were old and grumpy sounding.
Of course. What is that all about? I mean, like, where does that come from? Who do you think you are? Yes, it drives me mad. All right, Gavin says, quickly before we get to headlines, ahoy, guys. I finally made a live show again, been mainly listening to the podcast since lockdown started. A happy belated birthday to Cliff Central. My life would be horrible without you. As always, I've been loving your shit. It gets me through the long-ass days at home. I think my wife and kids secretly hate you guys because I have you on the headphones most of the day while working, and I do nothing at home. And I have mastered the art of just ignoring them for most of the day and pretend that it was the good old days when working from home was fun. Gord, a.k.a. Sir Rantalot, has been on point and so fun to listen to. Why can't that guy be on for more than one day in the lockdown period? Almost like he has cuck to do, and that goes for Leanne as well. I'm not even going to tell you how he spelt that. You are a legend. Okay, so some compliments for you for a change, Mbulelo.
Oh, that's...
I know. Soak it in, Mbulelo.
Yeah, I will do.
Sia, what would life be without Sia? You always ask yourself. The burning platform has been fire and makes my weekly Nando's mild chicken and spicy chips fix in place of the actual chicken and chips. Living in lockdown has been yes, also brew. Shot to you and the team for the last 6 years. Love you guys, Gavin. Isn't that nice? So thanks, Gavin.
I think that's Jess. It's been Jess.
Yes. Someone asking here, this is a good question from Oki, says, Gareth, when is Praveen Gordon going to come out and tell us how he's going to fund the new SAA? It's a pipe dream. And if they do it, no one's going to fly it. It'll be another thing that we have to pay for that no one else will get any use from but government. Anyway, here are the stories for this morning. Apparently, a corruption trial involving South African former President Jacob Zuma due to resume this week has been postponed to June because of the coronavirus outbreak, the state prosecutor said on Monday. And what did President Zuma say? He's alleged to have taken bribes of 4 million rand related to 3.4 billion rands worth of arms deal with French aerospace and defense giant Thales all the way back in 1999 when he was deputy president. The National Prosecuting Authority on Monday announced that the matter had been postponed in absentia to 23 June. So, more time for the former president. More time that he doesn't have to worry about this. Mm. The Western Cape Human Settlements Department on Monday said it wanted to clarify from the South African Police Service as to why they were allegedly turning away tenants who've been illegally evicted. MEC Tertius Simmers said that he had written to his counterpart, MEC for Community Safety, Albert Fritz, seeking clarity on the matter. Simmers said they had received two complaints where it was alleged that officers had refused to assist tenants. The SAPS has the responsibility to enforce the rules of the country. As such, this incident, which we are aware of, is disturbing and unacceptable. Under the Disaster Management Act, there is a prohibition on evictions during the lockdown period. How do you like that?
Yeah.
So the Western Cape government fighting with each other by the sound of things. Can't make up their minds what they should or shouldn't be doing. And then apparently, this is another story out of the news this morning. Those two both from EWN and this one also. Apparently, workers have been urged to report employers for non-compliance on COVID-19 health rules. Now, I know some people who've been really having the hardest time trying to get their UIF payments out of government.
I didn't think about that.
You know, we pay UIF every month. If you employ someone, you're legally required and obliged to pay UIF. And I've been reading countless examples in the news of people who just cannot get any satisfaction out of the UIF. And this is exactly when you need them. It stands for Unemployment Insurance Fund. You know? So
I have an almost 13-year-old story of an experience with the UIF, because when you're pregnant, you also qualify. So when you're pregnant and in those first 3 months, I think 3 or 4 months, you qualify for UIF. I remember when I just had Ganejo trying to like get that UIF. Mm-hmm. And it was such a mission. Because of that experience, I didn't even try at this period. I was just like, this thing is a shit show at the best of times. And it's just...
But you're an employer as well, so you obviously pay UIF. And you don't know where that money's going. And you don't know whether the people that you're paying the UIF for and on behalf of, if they can ever get it.
I mean, the UIF tax...
We should stop paying it then.
Tax relief, COVID relief, all the billions and billions and billions that are supposed to be available.
Really? It seems like you pay for these things, and obviously your tax pays for these things, and you don't get them when you need them, so why pay the tax? Why do it? It's not an unreasonable assumption to say, well, maybe we should stop throwing money into this bottomless pit, which is probably being used for corrupt purposes. You know,
it's going to be a nightmare. Although there are people who've received it. I mean, there was yesterday in the news, there was stuff about freelancers and some kind of once-off. Natim Tetwa. So in our industry, we would fall under Natim Tetwa's ministry, right? Arts, culture, creative, media, all of those kinds of things. And he made a big announcement just around the rules and regulations in terms of going back into the workplace, but also what kind of relief there is for freelancers and artists and sports people at this point in time. And again, I'm just going, the kind of paperwork that goes into this thing.
You know, it's funny, like here's the thing, you could be a struggling artist, and let's say you work in theater, for example, because that's really, you have no reliability of income there. And let's say you do a production and you're a dancer and you are a good person, you get taxed anyway, right? So like every other good citizen in this country, your forms are filled in and whoever's paying you just automatically PAYEs that money to SARS, or you have to provisionally pay it yourself. But either way, you're paying your tax. Then when it comes to you needing something from government, crickets. So you have to ask yourself, is this system working for the people of South Africa? And the answer is no. And also, I love the way that employers are treated like adults and employees are always treated like children. Like this, for example, the Labor Department saying that they expect the worst with regard to employers adhering to COVID-19. They have this assumption that employers are always the bad guy. Those employers are the ones making the job possible. The department's inspectorate unit said it would collate information on how employers were failing after many workers resumed their duties on Monday, but given their experience, their hopes were not raised. So you're going to go into private businesses. Now, bear in mind, no employer who's got a brain, and if you're an employer, you pretty much have to have a brain to keep that business going, especially during times like these. Wants their staff sick, do they? I mean, Pumi, would you want the people who work for you to be sick? Hell no. That costs you even more money. You're interested in their well-being. You want them to be healthy. You want them to be looked after. This is a general assumption which people seem to have the wrong way around. Like they think that employers, they think employers want their people to suffer.
So, you know, in governance, do you know what the Pygmalion effect is?
No.
So the Pygmalion effect is a psychological model where if you admire somebody, right, and you treat them well, they continue to admire you and they behave well. And it completes a circle where the admiration they have for you and their behavior has a back and forth, right? So in this case, what you need is for government to treat people like they love them or believe in them, and then we'll love the government. It's called the Pygmalion effect, if you want to. That's a very, very sort of low-level explanation of it. But it's a really important function for people to do well. You have to believe in them so they can believe in themselves, so they can believe in you. It's a really, really important thing and something to look up, which they are missing completely here. Pygmalion effect.
Well, whatever this effect is, it seems like now the Department of Labor is looking for reasons to fight with employers. They're saying, you know, employers are not complying. And I mean, it's just a, and also it's typical of the news in this country that that would be the story they pick up on.
And then, okay, next news item. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. CNN saying three Russian doctors have fallen from hospital windows, raising questions a bit about the coronavirus pandemic. So this is a bizarre story. Three frontline healthcare workers have mysteriously fallen out of hospitals over the past 2 weeks in Russia, heightening public attention. Two of those healthcare workers are dead. One remains hospitalized. All three incidents, which are being investigated by Russian law enforcement facilities, have prompted intense discussion in the Russian press and on social media. And they're saying,
yeah, we had a similar pandemic during apartheid where people used to fall out of windows at John Foster Square.
Yes, but we know what really happened there, don't we?
No, I'm just saying that the similarities are so interesting.
So what do you think is happening? Do you think these are suicides? Do you think that they are people who've been chucked out of windows on purpose? I mean, what do you think's happening?
Maybe there are people being chucked out of windows on purpose to keep the numbers suppressed, to keep the reality of what's happening in Russia down.
No, please, take your Martin Scorsese mind out of this. You're going to free us all out now.
The doctors and medical professionals. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's like,
all right,
how bizarre is that? We haven't seen it anywhere else in the world where, like, frontline workers are committing suicide because they're so overwhelmed by grief.
Maybe. Or, as you say,
I really don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to seem insensitive, but I cannot wait for all of the movies that will come from this time.
Yeah, there's going to be no movie industry to make them, Sia, I'm afraid. You're going to be on your own there. All right. And then,
okay, I'll be watching.
There's going to be no cinemas to show the movies.
Yeah, there's no cinemas either. Okay, so apparently they've got the U.S. is under attack from murder hornets. Do you know what these are?
Dum, dum, dum.
They are 2-inch long Asian giant hornets. They're called Vespa mandarina. They've been found in Washington State in the Pacific Northwest. Multiple stings are deadly to humans, and in their slaughter phase, the hornets destroy honeybees whose bodies they feed to their young.
What are they called?
Murder hornets.
And they're from Asia.
From Asia, yeah.
She's America's under attack from the East, isn't it? First it's the Chinese
China.
Virus, now it's an Asian
China. China must pay.
Whoa.
So scientists are on a hunt for the hornets, hoping to eradicate the species before they wipe out US bees. So there we go. It's not just humans who are having a tough time at the moment. The bees are also having a shitty time. Horrible.
It's tough.
No.
Tough being a bee.
All right, then this is interesting. Can anyone advise? This is a message from Marapo on Facebook. Nothing has been said about legal representatives and applicants or respondents who break COVID-19 lockdown. Judge president's directives or the High Court. Where do we report them? What is the protocol for breaking court lockdown rules or incitement to commit a crime by either party concerning lockdown rules linked to the public? Breaking of lockdown rules, blah, 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 blah. So lots of repetition from Marapo, but basically what are the procedures for legal representatives? I mean, maybe we should find out from some of our people, Sia, and have a lawyer on to talk about what actually happens if you are caught. Is it a spot fine? How much can that spot fine be? What's the maximum amount? What can you actually be arrested for? What can you not be arrested for? Maybe it's time to check in on all that stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can do that. And then let me remind you, we're staying connected through the lockdown with iConnect, and you can too, for just 199 Rand per user per month with no contract or setup fee. With this deal, you get a remote voice extension, a soft phone or desktop app, 200 minutes of free voice bundle, and a free iConnect inbound number. You'll also be able to port an existing number for free and get the free extension to extension calls. You can contact iConnect SA. You can get them on 010-271-3995. Email them at remote@iConnectSA.co.za or check out iConnectSA.co.za today. Useful information. All right. Got an email here from Natalie. Mm-hmm. She says, since I'm living my best lockdown life, I'm sleeping until about 7. Who's going to stop me, right? Which means that I can now catch the podcasts, thanks to technology. This also means that no WhatsApps. Every time I want to chip in, I remember that you're all doing other things while I'm listening, like the time that Mbulelo dropped the mic on him playing for Watford. I was with Sia in that moment. Damn, look at you. I also wanted to be a Karen and let you know that Sir Elton John is sober for the last 25 years, despite what his garden performance might have led you to believe. Shem, septuagenarian, just like our president. Anywho, let me not gourd on. Peace and love. Thank you for keeping it real and not for being everybody. Natalie. So, Mbulelo, you have a problem with this because you saw Elton John drinking, puzzaying, and you say he's
in the pub, no less.
He's definitely not sober.
Yeah, it's, you know, what do you say to that? I know for a fact I wouldn't be the only person who'd back that, because when we got that email, I sent somebody a message who was a part of the team, and we had a chuckle about it.
So,
all right. When you were on, this is from Christy. She says, when you were live on national radio, I'd wake up and start my day listening to you and then feeling informed I'd go into the world. I took it for granted and realized that the moment that you weren't there anymore, that's where my relationship with radio ended. I didn't listen to Cliff Central from the beginning. I was pretty stupid with streaming and podcasting, but then I joined the 21st century and have been listening every day now for 4 years. You, your team, and your guests have opened up my eyes, taught me to truly think for myself, see through the bullshit, question things that don't make sense, and value a good debate. You keep us informed, entertained, and truly inspired. I don't think I'm being dramatic when I say your show's changed my life and that I don't know what I'd do without it. Thank you for your service. Do you hear that, Pumi? And please keep doing what you're doing. Happy birthday, Cliff Central. That's from Christy. Well, thank you, Christy.
That's the best email I've heard since I started working.
Ever, right?
No, genuinely.
Thank you.
It is the best.
Right on the front line.
The second one. Yeah. The fact that she's saying she's now questioning and valuing debate. That's
well,
awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't always hit the mark. So I know for a fact that often we're quite woeful.
But it's all right. I think what it is the fact that even when we disagree, all of us, we can come back the next day, the next week, and be civilized to each other and carry on.
I mean, we've had disagreements, you know. I've had disagreements with Sia, with Pumi, with Mbulelo, with all the other people who are on the show. And it doesn't mean that you have a problem with that person forever. I mean, what kind of childish way is that to behave?
Nope, you don't know what I'm doing with my voodoo dolls here at home.
Oh, really?
I'm joking.
So, yeah, that's a very Twitter thing to be.
Oh, here's someone who started listening to us during the lockdown. Sherilyn says, I started listening to the podcast during lockdown, and I look forward to it every morning. It has been integrated into my daily routine, and I believe your show adds value to people's lives. I'm inspired by your commitment to speak truthfully, blah, blah, blah.
So, yeah,
no, but she's being nice, and I mean, I appreciate that, but it sounds like we're just reading fan mail. Thank you so much, Gareth, and your team for making life during lockdown normal and less scary. Thanks for being raw and honest about current situations and adding the heightened anxiety that we are currently being fed from all angles, without adding, sorry, to the heightened anxiety. Your channel's awesome, Sherilyn.
Oh.
And then, are there some few problems on the web and the app? Yes, apparently the website's working, but the app is not this morning, so I don't know how to answer that. Again, there's the one thing you can always guarantee is technical problems.
So. Could we have a moment of silence this morning for the effort, the glamour, the grace that is Pumi Mashego with makeup on at this
point? Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, Sia. Pumi is wearing a... She's wearing a beautiful headscarf. She's got lipstick on. Mm. Pumi looks glamorous as hell today.
I have had enough, guys. I've had enough of, like, being on all these Zoom, Skype, house party, whatever, Google Hangout stuff with not enough light. And y'all didn't answer me, so I hope one of our listeners can tell me, do you think that the China malls are opening? Because I need that influencer light. You know that round light that gives you, like, proper lighting
I didn't
for
know.
Your YouTube channel, but it also gives you proper lighting for the meetings.
I didn't know what that thing was called. It's like a... It looks almost like a toilet seat, but light comes from it. Right?
That round top part of a toilet.
That's right. Yes. And it attaches to some kind of tripod, and then you put it in front of you.
It's got a stand.
So why do you want a ring light? Why do you not want a... You know, you've been in television for a long time, Pumi, so you know. Like TV lighting, they try to make you look as good as possible and for the cameras. And so how does this stupid light do any good?
Because it surrounds your device, right? So that you've got the same amount of light coming at you from every single direction. That's why it's around like that. That's what makes TV lighting good, is that either, you know, it's flat or it is accentuated for whatever part that they want to accentuate. So if they've got a dark part or whatever. But the point of it is you need consistent light all over your face, which is why we love sunlight and we love the kind of reddish sunset light and those kinds of filters, because it's the same. It's the same everywhere on your face and gives the same amount of light all over your face, so that the people that see you see all the parts of your fabulous face.
So you want to put on a show for your next meeting?
Dude, I have just had enough of kind of, as I'm squinting to see the people that I'm talking to, if they hear what I'm saying. You know, the one thing about being in a physical meeting is communication is a 360 experience. So it's about the visuals. It's about how their bodies respond. It's about how their eyes, their faces, all of those things. The problem with these Zoom meetings is you're not sure if the message is landing. Does this person understand what I'm saying to them? Do they agree? Do they disagree? And because I started noticing that about the other people, I wondered if they feel the same about me.
Yeah, it's a good point. Huh? That's a very good point. Okay, so Pumi, this light is essential. What else do you need the China malls for? Because, I mean, I go there for... Maybe I would have gone there for my nephew's birthday present for next week. But otherwise, I don't know what else I want there.
You can do without it?
Well, don't get me wrong. They're useful. There's one right across the road from us at Cliff Central. So I often go and buy stuff there. And sometimes you get some good stuff, you know?
The thing about the China Mall is it's also always such a surprise. You don't know you really need that little thing until you see it and you go, damn, this looks like a useful thing. I need it in my clutter drawer. So that's the other thing about it, right? Is you kind of, you need to be there to see it and go, yeah, I could use that thing one day when I'm doing X. And then it also costs like $10.
All right. So you don't have to worry about breaking the bank, right?
Just buy it, you know? So, I mean, those things are quite, because again, as we've all been experiencing with all these lockdown rules, particularly around retail, is you don't know what you find essential until that moment when you need it. Like, nobody had thought about the baby clothes, right? And that's why it had to be an amendment.
Uh-huh.
Nobody had thought about the winter clothes. That's why it had to be an amendment. No one had thought about the burst pipes and the geezers. And until, you know, you don't know you need it until that moment.
Mm.
That's the thing about retail.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point.
Influence a lot of mine.
So, I'm gonna let it shine.
I know. Influence a lot of mine.
By the way, have you realized, like, it's really hard to try and keep up this home exercise stuff. For the first 3 weeks, I was, man, you know, I was all in and I was keen and made sure I did like 5 different sets of whatever it was a day. And now, I did it yesterday, but it was just such a schlep. And I'm getting bored because I've got these 2 kettlebells. I know some people have nothing to use. I got these 2 kettlebells. It's all I've got. I've never used them until lockdown, right?
See, you could buy dumbbells at a China Mall.
You could, definitely. And now I've got these 2 kettlebells. And really and truly, I'm just so bored. I've done everything I think I can with them. I've even gone online and looked at what other people do with them. And I think I'm out of ideas, Frank. Don't send me ideas, by the way. I actually don't want ideas. I want to be able to say, I'm doing everything I can with these. Now I'm done. Just so I could be lazy.
You'll be sent a link to someone's YouTube channel.
Please don't. I don't.
So are you saying you over-exercise or what are you actually saying?
No, I'm not motivated to do it anymore.
It's interesting. I don't want to sound like a motivational speaker about it, but this is often the problem with people who ask me about exercise is if you're not making it a part of your lifestyle, that means you want it to be a part of your life for the rest of your life. I'm not interested in talking to you. And people think it's harsh, but this is what happens when it's for extrinsic reasons. Make it a part of your lifestyle. It must be necessary. Otherwise, this will happen.
Of course, I read an article yesterday actually about the COVID and post-COVID kind of aspirations in Britain. Uh-huh. And they did a survey. And of the people surveyed, 27% of the people surveyed said they were doing more exercise in the lockdown than before. And that they will continue exercising post the lockdown. Because it's been like 6 weeks or whatever. So they've formed new habits. But the thing about it, Gareth, is you need variety, my friend.
Yeah.
That's why you're feeling a little bit like, this thing.
Maybe I'll do the exercise outside today because I've been doing it inside the whole time. Maybe if I just change it and do it outside, it'll be a little more exciting.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
All right.
Mix it up.
With your bunny friends.
Oh, the rabbits.
Yeah.
And the ducks.
By the way,
yeah.
Gord is so funny. He's sending me messages about this rabbit that lives in the garden, and he's telling me it has a very desirable pelt, and we've got to kill it and eat it soon because it's
rabbits do.
Yes. Oh no. This has a very beautiful pelt, but Gord is he's like he's getting a bit creepy because he says, "No, we must get it while it's still young and the coat is still soft." Before it's been discolored, you know, and I had this dream as a result of fucking Gord. I had this dream last night about killing this rabbit.
No.
Yes. I felt terrible about it.
Did you make a hat out of its pelt?
No, in the dream, I did kill it, and then I did skin it, and I cooked it, And I put the pelt into this little box, and I was going to give it to Gord in my dreams. I mean, it's just terrible. That is a horrible dream to have.
You're supposed to wear the pelt like Jon Snow on Game of Thrones.
It's not big enough to wear. It's a tiny little rabbit.
It's
What's
a rabbit for crying out loud.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, make a spandler for good luck. Ward off the virus with a rabbit spandler.
Right. There we go. All right. Well, we've got to 7 o'clock unscathed, and we've got lots more for you in the next hour, including a chat to the people at SICA, you know, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. Because I want to find out, frankly, you could call them bean counters, those people that crunch the numbers, but you cannot get past the importance of actual efficient accountants, right, Pumi? You need one. Everybody needs one. We're going to talk to somebody at SICA who's the best person to talk to there, a guy called Robert Zwane. He's the Senior Executive for National Projects and Nation Building at SICA. We're going to find out all about what SICA does, how they're involved in stuff that affects your life and mine. And Blind History is coming up, the new episode of Blind History, which is King Louis the 14th today.
Ooh.
Garrett, see ya. I keep asking you if you can get the people at Netflix to sponsor a segment of our show, because the number of times we have conversations about the stuff that they have on.
I know.
Have you seen the Secret History of Cuba?
No, I must watch that.
It's actually a German documentary, but it's obviously it's got English subtitles, and it's an 8-part series about Cuba from pre-colonial, so each episode, so it's not just like almost universally when people think about Cuba, they think about El Comandante, right?
Right.
But this is the colonial. There's an episode about pre-colonial Cuba with the African slaves that were brought there. It's a chunk about the civil independence, so the fight against Spain. It's about Batista and his rise to power.
Oh, yeah.
It is incredible.
All right,
it's an incredible documentary. Speaking of blind history, Secret Cuba.
All right. We've got lots of homework to do. Thanks, Pums. All right. So coming up in the next hour, lots of good stuff. Stick around cliffcentral.com just for you on this Tuesday morning, the 5th of May in the year 2020. Cliffcentral.com.